Alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Oh, man. Okay, we are ready to move along, getting things rolling with the second hour of the Bucket Strategy Investing program. Hope you've heard it so far. It's been wonderful. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum is back once again with me from Lucia Capital Group. We're here to talk about money, talk about strategy, finance, planning, retirement, whatever. We're here to talk to you about your money. We got a huge assortment, a varied whole basket full of stuff to talk about, topics to go over. But of course, we're going to talk about anything that happens to be on your mind, speaking, of course, in a financial sense here. If you need to get in touch with us here on the show, you can do so. There are a few different ways to do that. Get your questions answered right away. Best course of action is to give us a call. Our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER. Got some lines open right now, 877-752-6637. We're going to be taking your calls first, so hang on for that. You can also send us your emails, your questions, your comments. Go to wealthed.com and click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. And speaking of Wealth Ed, Wealth Education, be sure to check out all of our financial resources at wealthed.com. You can also contact the Brain Trust there as well. Everyone's situation is different, and you've got the opportunity to meet with a Brain Trust advisor to go over your unique strategy. You should know what your options are. You should trust the Brain Trust network of advisors. They're available to you through a single point of contact. Call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, the off-air number. Once again, 800-644-1150. You can make an appointment and just say hi to the Brain Trust, which, of course, includes Professor Rick Plum. Our phone lines are open. I said we're going to take some calls. We're going to do so right now. We still have a couple of lines open at 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Professor Plum, we have a question. Ray had called after the show yesterday, so we're getting him on first up this hour. Ray, and I believe Honolulu, Hawaii. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning.
How can we help you today?
Well, so first of all, thank you for all your words of wisdom throughout the years. And my question is, if my wife and I want to gift more than $14,000 per calendar year,
right,
what are the tax ramifications for both parties, the giver and the receiver?
Well, there is no tax ramification on the gift portion from the person receiving it. You know, you could give them $1 billion and it's not their responsibility to pay the taxes. It would be your responsibility to pay the gift taxes. Now, the gift taxes really you don't actually pay any gift taxes until the gifts in excess of $14,000 a year exceed $5,450,000 this year. So if you were to give them a very large gift, $5+ million, if all you gave them was $5 million, no tax. If you gave them $14,000 individually and then cumulatively over and above that another $5.45 million from your pocket, okay, now the next dollar is going to have a tax associated with that you're responsible of paying. Now that $5.4 million is the same number and is the same exemption that we can give at our death. So if we give it during our lifetime, it's not available to give at our death. I can't give somebody $5 million today and then die and give them another $5 million when I die. It's the same, basically the same number of gift versus estate. I'm still technically giving them money, whether I give them during my life or giving it to them at my death. I've got this $5,450,000 get out of jail free gift estate tax, you know, card that says the government doesn't bill me on that. So you can give them quite a bit. Now, you are supposed to file a 709 gift tax form. Tell me a little bit about you. How much are you and your wife worth combined total together?
Oh, like $1.5
million. Yeah, and do you play the lottery heavily? You're gonna, you've got some things in the work that's going to make you a Donald Trump-esque type of income, of net worth?
No, I don't see us exceeding $5 million.
And that's $5 million per person, $5,450,000 per person.
Okay.
So it's, give them what you want to give them. If you can afford to give them, $100,000 and you want to give them $100,000, fine. Give them $100,000.
On the other hand, is there any tax advantage of giving that money? Will that reduce my income for this year?
Nope.
No.
The only way it would reduce your income is if I have a stock that I paid $10,000 for, and it's currently worth roughly $100,000, and my kids need it for college, they need it for the first-time home purchase, whatever. If I sell it, I get to pay the capital gain on the $90,000 in this hypothetical example. If I give it to them, they get to pay the tax on it. Somebody's still going to pay the tax on it.
Okay, that answers the question. Thank you. That was simple.
All right, Ray, thank you for calling. I'm glad you brought it up. We're going to be talking about this, I believe, tomorrow.
Cool.
A couple of segments devoted to this very subject in the first hour.
It's a confusing area.
Of course it's a confusing area, and it's confusing because we've heard of things like gift tax. When you hear something like gift tax, you assume that somebody is going to be out there paying something, either the receiver or a giver, or it sounds like perhaps you can deduct something by giving a gift. Now, you mentioned here that if you gift stock, appreciated stock, in your example, you said you bought a stock for $10,000, and X number of years later, it's gone gangbusters, it's worth $100,000, and you gift it to somebody, let's say your kid. The amount that you...
the recipient's basis. Now, basis is the starting point for determining gain or loss in the investment. The basis falls across, flows through to the new owner.
Right, so it's really only a $10,000 gift?
No, it's $100,000
gift. So I would need to theoretically fill out Form 709 for $84,000 or $86,000.
Right, assuming I hadn't given them any other money for the year.
Yeah.
But we're talking about two different systems, though, and this is where people get confused as well. You've got a gift system that looks at the value of the gift, and you've got an income tax system that looks at the gain or loss on the investment. The gain or loss didn't change when I changed the ownership to my child as a gift to them. So my basis is still, my basis was $10,000, their basis is $10,000. The only time the basis changes, and this is something you probably should never do, is if the value of the gift, when I make the gift, is less than my basis. Let's say instead of paying $10,000 for that hypothetical $100,000 stock, I paid $150,000 for it, and it lost money. And I'm in a low bracket, so the loss does me no good, but my kids are, doctors, lawyers, whatever they are, and they're making big money, and so I give it to them thinking that they can take the loss. Uh-uh. I cannot give a loss to somebody else. The basis on a gift is the lower of the donor's basis or the current market value, the lower. So if in that example I paid 150, it was worth 100, their basis is 100. Flip it around, I paid 100, it's worth 150, basis is 100.
Doesn't help us at all. Now, the reason it would be a bad thing to do is because you'd be much better off selling it.
Nobody gets the loss.
Selling it, take the loss, because once you gift it away, the loss is gone and nobody gets
gone.
It.
It's gone.
So the better choice in that
At least
example,
I get $3,000 a year to
right,
write
exactly.
off.
Right, exactly. And then you have, in your example, $100,000. Now you can gift over the $100,000.
Yeah. They're still getting $100,000.
Right. And if they like that particular stock and they want to hold on to it, then they can
they
go
can
out and buy it for $100,000 and be on their way. $14,000. We will cover this tomorrow again, but since we're talking about
exclusion,
it. Yes.
The annual gift tax-free amount. $14,000 a year per person giving to any individual receiving. As many times as I want to give to different individuals, up to $14,000 a year. There's no limit as to the number of people I can give $14,000 a year and still be a non-taxable gift.
Right. So if you had a whole bunch of money and you were afraid that we had a caller yesterday who said, I just don't want this going to the government. I'd like to give it to my kids. But my concern is that...
Well, we had a call yesterday from somebody who had like 10 grandkids and, they could give $140,000 away.
Right. Now theoretically, you could have somebody just start handing out $14,000.
Little bundles.
Little bundles on the street corner. until they could do it for what? Let's see. If you had about $10 million, you'd have to hand it to about what, 1,000 people? Wait, I'd have to do the math. I don't know what it is. But in theory, you could give that entire fortune away in a year and not have to worry about any type of gift tax. You doing the math for me here?
Yeah, the number just seemed low. 714 people.
That's it? 714 times 14,000? Or times
10 million.
Yeah, 10 million.
14,000. 714, and then you got a little bit left over.
And 29 cents.
Well, 0.29% of 14,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, 700. Okay, so call it 715,000. That's it. Wow.
715 okay. people.
So that's what I mean, 715 people. So you have $10 million. This is one way to do it, folks. In fact, if
that's a good way to get rid of your net worth.
It really is. And it is completely allowed. And if you
totally legal.
If you had two people, a husband and a wife who were both worth that combined, they could cut that number in half to whatever it is,
well, 357.
You
know, a husband and wife can give a lot of money. They can give 28,000 per person between the two of them.
Right, but I mean they could eat through that 10 million twice as quickly.
Yes.
Sure. All right. All right, so gifting, once again, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll give you some of that. This is a good discussion of it here, right here. And maybe try to clear up some of the confusion. You had said that our caller, Ray, could go ahead and give it if he had $100,000.
Give it.
He's supposed to fill out Form 709, and maybe he should to cover the overage. But ultimately, Form 709 only matters if you wind up having to owe a gift tax or an estate tax at the end of your life. All right, 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking more of your calls when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take the spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
If you've recently left a job or retired, you may have left behind a 401k that you haven't thought about in years. How do you know if that account is still right for your retirement goals? How do you know if the fees are fair? How do you know what an IRA may offer that your old 401k may not? The retirement planning strategist at Lucia Capital Group help you get answers and guidance for your retirement plan. Schedule a rollover review and learn what options may be available for rolling over your 401k. You don't have to make your most important financial decisions through websites and calculators. You can work hand in hand with the Lucia Capital Group advisor who can explain the process to you personally and handle all the paperwork for you. Call for a personalized rollover review, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America,
Red, White, and You.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Market strategy investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, the Brain Trust. We're here talking to you about your cash, about your dough, about your money, about your retirement, about your savings, and anything else that comes around that particular topic. 877-PLANNER. I just looked. We got every line open right now. How about that? 877-PLANNER. So if you're trying to get in touch with the Brain Trust, now is a really good time to call. You can also email us at our website, wealtheed.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheed.com. I want to get to a couple of emails here. We had one from Mac in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it looks like he's got three different parts to this question, or perhaps three different questions. So let's find out. Mac in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm 67, single, retired, living mostly off distributions from my IRA. I did a file and suspend last year when I reached full retirement age and hadn't planned on taking Social Security until 70. I was hit with a $17 Medicare increase this year, and I assume I'll get hit with another increase next year unless I start taking Social Security benefits.
You'll probably get hit next year anyway, don't worry.
Yeah, it's, what is it now, 123?
Roughly.
Yeah, so, well, that's for
most
people.
But the only reason you would not get hit next year is if we do not get another cost of living allowance.
Correct, yeah. All right, my questions are, one, in which month would I have to start taking benefits to avoid next year's Medicare increase? Want all three of them?
Well, we can start. I mean, if you are worried about that. Now, remember, if we get a cost of living allowance increase, you're going to pay the Medicare increase anyway. So the only reason that you would not get an increase in your Medicare Part B premium if you were to start receiving your benefit right now or sometime this year is if we don't have a cost of living allowance. If you have a cost of living allowance, it's going to go to the Medicare increase anyway. So I don't know what you're actually doing as far as this. And the reason you did the file and suspend was to let your benefit grow at 8%. That $17 a month benefit increase cost is a lot less than the increase that you're receiving in your monthly benefit. Mm-hmm. So it's very short-sighted to start taking your benefit earlier than you wanted to, earlier than you had planned on because you've done the analysis earlier, just to avoid a $25 increase, which you're going to end up paying in the future anyway. The people that were frozen at the 104.90 last year, as soon as we get a cost of living increase, they're going to come up and pay the same amount as everybody else. So it's a short-term freeze on the Medicare premium, but a long-term freeze on the benefit. So I wouldn't do it just for that reason. But if you really want to do it, you have to be receiving it before the end of December.
Yeah.
Receiving it before the end of
exactly.
December.
So apply before that. Okay, that was question one. If I do start taking Social Security benefits and avoid the Medicare increase, then suspend again in a subsequent month, would that trigger the Medicare increase?
Well, it won't trigger a Medicare increase because you're not allowed to suspend again. One time. Lifetime suspension after that. No more. No more for you.
No soup for you?
No suspension for you.
Since
you've already suspended once, you can't do it again.
Okay, well, now this answers his third question. Since I already suspended once, am I allowed to suspend for a second time if I'm still less than 70? Less than 70 has no bearing on it. You cannot do it.
If you suspend your benefit and then restart your benefit, whether it's earlier or at 70, you can't suspend it again. It's a one-time thing. Done.
Yeah.
In your case, if waiting until 70 was the right thing to do a year ago, 2 years ago, whenever you decided to do it, it's still the right thing to do now unless your longevity has changed. To avoid a very temporary freeze on the, or to avoid a temporary increase on your Social Security benefit is not a reason to give up an 8% per year increase if you thought that was what was best for you to begin with. It's just not enough to do it.
He has a couple more sentences here, but it really is, once again, we've answered. I searched the Social Security website to find out about recent spending and sent them an email, but the response just directed me back to their website. Well, you won't really find it there. I was also thinking about starting benefits so I could qualify for a mortgage loan, but I want to be sure, well, I'll be able to suspend for a second time. Thanks for your help. I really enjoy the show. Wish I were able to listen every day. Well, again, I mean, starting benefits to a mortgage loan, I mean,
to take a bigger distribution from your IRA to show the income coming in, a good mortgage broker will be able to help you do that without applying for the benefit. Because if you apply for the benefit, or if you unsuspend your benefit, you're getting it now. You're not going to be able to suspend again.
Yeah, and we should point out, too, that the rules that changed, just to make sure everybody's clear, the rules that changed back at the end of April do not forbid you from suspending your benefits after you turn age 66.
They didn't take away the ability to suspend.
No.
They took away the ability for someone else to receive a benefit from your work record while you've suspended.
Now, this doesn't mean, this also doesn't mean that you can't at age 66 file and immediately suspend.
You can
There's no discernible benefit that I can think of for doing it anymore, because the whole point before was to file. And now that you've filed, somebody else
can take a benefit.
A spouse or whoever.
And the reason to suspend a benefit now is more for somebody who was 62, started their benefit early, so that a dependent child or somebody else could start receiving a benefit from your work record. But by the time you get to 66, 67, they've graduated high school, so they're no longer receiving a benefit. Then you could suspend it and let your benefit grow until age 70. That is the kind of scenario that would make sense for the file and then later suspend to restart again later. But it's not somebody who immediately files and suspends. It's somebody who filed, received a benefit, somebody else was also receiving a benefit, and then suspended.
Yes, and again, once you've suspended your benefit, you cannot, once you start it up after having received it, at the end, you cannot
Once you unsuspend,
right.
You can't then resuspend.
Yes, and another important point too here, one of the reasons for taking Social Security at age 62 that isn't brought up all that often is what you just mentioned here.
So somebody else can draw a benefit from you, a dependent child.
Yes.
Or a spouse that's caring for the dependent child. So you can actually get a benefit almost equal to what you're receiving at 62, maybe even more than what you're receiving at 62, which really lengthens that break-even age of waiting.
Yes.
Because it takes a lot longer to make up the amount of money that you're receiving early. So
So if you have a family member,
again, assuming you're not working.
No. See, here we go again. Yet another thing, another piece gets thrown into it that has to be thrown into it. See, you reach age 62, and let's say you have a spouse who's a lot younger than you, who is caring for obviously
started later in life with children.
Right, a younger child, and they could use some benefits. You're age 62, and you say, "Oh, great. I can apply for Social Security and allow them to start taking a benefit." And you say, well, wait a minute, though. Yes, you can, but you can't be working and making more than $15,000, call it $16,000.
Yeah, well, if you're working, you don't need a retirement benefit.
Well, you see,
how can you receive a retirement benefit if you're working? You're not retired.
Well,
unless you're 66 and working, and then you're retired and working, and you can get both.
And you're perfectly capable of doing that.
Whatever.
Well, you know what? The idea of doing it at age 66 is fine. I think it should go. I think you should just be allowed to go ahead and work.
Well, call
because
Congress
for reasons
and present your case to them.
Yeah, they don't. I always get a busy signal. They allow you to do it once you're age 66, but they don't allow you to do it at age 62. And that aces out your family, too.
The retirement earnings test used to go all the way to age 70.
I understand. Now, they lowered it to age 66. It's some sort of compromise.
They lowered it to age full retirement age.
Well, at the time, it was age 66. Or was it? Was it 65 at the time?
65.
Okay, 65. They lowered it to full retirement age, which was a nice thing. It was actually a benefit increase when you think about it. But okay. I don't want to get any ideas. We're happy to have what we have, and they haven't taken anything away yet. Who knows what they're going to do. Okay, 877-PLANET. We're going to take a break, but we got more coming up. Some more of your emails. Some of these retirement myths, we're going to cover those as well. Some leftover topics. We got questions on required minimum distributions. 877-PLANER. Professor Rick Plum, Johnny Dean on Bucket Strategy Investing.
This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal. Many investors are well aware of the start the stock market had in 2016. According to CNN and other news agencies, the Dow dropped 5.5%, NASDAQ fell 7.8%. The losses raised the fear of whether we could be heading for another sustained market downturn like 2008, and for many, it raised the question, what should I do now? If the bumpy start to the year raised questions about how your retirement strategy may be exposed to market volatility, or if you don't have a strategy that takes stock fluctuation into account, schedule a consultation with a Lucia Capital Group advisor to review your portfolio. Learn what options you may have to take a fragile market into account. Contact a Lucia Capital Group advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or turn to us for education, advice, and planning online at wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Advisory services offered through Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and member SIPC. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principle.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Limited time. See store or staples.com for details.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money. 877-PLANNER is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Now, we got some room on the phone, so give us a call. We were talking a few days ago about required minimum distributions and what is required if you are the owner of an IRA. Professor Plum, just to sort of restate the simplest form, when you are 70 and a half,
the year you turn 70 and a half,
you are required to take a certain amount of money based on
the age you will attain in that calendar year, that tax year.
And based on the amount that's in each of your retirement accounts of the prior year.
It's a fairly easy calculation. You take the balance as of the end of the previous year, the 12/31 last year balance, divided by a factor the IRS has given us, a life expectancy factor the IRS has given us, for the age that you will reach this year. So if I will be 71 this year, I just look up the factor, divide by 26.5. Now, the only people that have a different set of tables than the normal table is somebody who has a spouse that's more than 10 years younger than them. If you're married to somebody that has more than 10 years younger than you, you look at a different table. It's not hard to do. You just have to kind of match it up and look it up and find out what your factor is for your life expectancy. But everything else works the same way. Last year's balance divided by this year's life expectancy factor. The resulting amount is the required minimum distribution.
Yes. Now, if it's the age that you will be at the end of the year. So if you turn 70 and a half in, say, March, your required minimum distribution, let's say in this year, is this year, but you don't use the 70 factor, you use the age 71.
Because you will turn 71 during this year. And the other thing is, for somebody who's passed away who's in required minimum distribution age, maybe they pass away towards the beginning of the year when they're 71, 72, and their birthdays would have been later in the year. Well, you use the age that they would have attained if they had survived.
Yes. It's as if they were still alive because they still
it's
have
still
to take
their required minimum distribution.
Right, for that year only. Now that you mention that, though, so that those are the basics of required minimum distributions. And yes, the first one you can postpone until the first quarter of the following year. All the same rules still apply. You're just doing it later on. They give you a little bit of time.
And you don't recalculate it. You don't go to the next 12/31 balance. You just use the exact same number.
Right.
You just take it out later in the, you know, next quarter, and then do again for the same year for the next required minimum.
Now, a couple of questions came up after we talked about that I haven't had a chance to get to, so I'm just going to throw them in now. By the way, if you have questions, 877-PLANNER. We got room on the phones right now, 877-PLANNER. Is what if you're still working after the age 70 and a half? Is there a required minimum distribution?
Is it an IRA?
Well, they don't say. That's just the question. Let's assume there is an IRA.
If it's an IRA, yes, you have a required minimum distribution. If it is a former employer's retirement plan, yes, you have a required minimum distribution. If you own 5% or more of the company you're working for, yes, you have a required minimum distribution. The only people and the only account that you can get away with not taking the required minimum distribution if you're working is that employer's plan. The employer that you are working for after 70 and a half, and you don't own 5% or more of the company, that one, that specific plan, and only that plan, can be postponed because you're still working. But a SEP, that's an IRA. Still have to take a required minimum distribution. Simple IRA, it's an IRA. Have to take a required minimum distribution. If I have plans from previous employers, have to take required minimum distribution. Only the plan with the current employer is eligible for the deferral.
Yeah, and that would be 401Ks, 403Bs, 457, but anything that's classified as an IRA doesn't matter because it's not connected to your work. You're still going to have to take
it. Once the contribution is made, it's not connected with the work.
No, I understand. Yeah, yeah. You're still going to have to take it. So that's what happens if you're working after age 70. Now, question is this. What about a required minimum distribution on a spousal beneficiary? You started to talk about this a little bit. Let's say that the spouse now inherits or doesn't inherit. Well, yeah,
inherits
the IRA or the 401k or whatever. It is now theirs. Let's say that the person who passed away has already taken their required minimum distribution for that year.
Well, a spouse beneficiary has different options than a non-spouse beneficiary. And the key one is they can roll it into their own name and treat it as their own. Now, if you've got a married couple, you know, 75 years old and 65 years old, and the 75-year-old passes away, they are in required minimum distribution age. The required minimum distribution for that year, the year they passed away, still has to be taken because once they got into the year, they have a required minimum distribution. Live or die, they have a required minimum distribution for that year. But then once that RMD has been taken, the money can be transferred over to the spouse beneficiary and it can be put into their own IRA. It's the only time we really can commingle different people's IRAs when you have a current spouse. The current surviving spouse, you know, can take it over and put it in their own name as if it was their IRA the entire time. And if they're younger, like I was in this example, the person's only 65, now they don't have a required minimum distribution until they reach 70 and a half because they are under the age that they need to take required minimum distributions. And so a lot of times we'll look at how old is the surviving spouse. Now, depending upon, again, how old the surviving spouse is, maybe instead of 75 and 65, we've got a married couple 55 and 53. Well, we don't want to roll it necessarily into the surviving spouse's name because now if they roll it into the 53-year-old's name and that 53-year-old needs some money from that account at any time between then and 59, their age 59 and a half, it's a 10% penalty. So it would be better. A surviving spouse also has the ability to defer taking any distributions from the beneficiary IRA, the spousal, the IRA of the deceased IRA, until the deceased would have been age 70 and a half. So that 55-year-old,
right.
Death of the owner of that account gets you out of the 10% penalty, as long as it stays in that account.
Yeah, so keep in mind that if you're in the unfortunate situation of having to deal with a spouse who passes away and you are of a certain age, let's say under age 59 and a half, and you think you might need that money, it's probably a better idea, Professor Plum, to leave the IRA in the name of the deceased spouse.
It's a form of beneficiary IRA. Create the idea that, yes, tell the custodian that the person has passed away, that the spouse is now controlling it, and it's for the spouse, but it's not being rolled over to the spouse's IRA yet. It's still in the decedent's name. It's still the decedent's IRA with the spouse as the beneficiary. The spouse as beneficiary can take distributions or not take distributions as they see fit. No penalty because it's not their IRA. It's
right.
A decedent IRA.
Still taxable, but no penalty.
It's going to be taxable
no matter what. Either way. Now, again, as you just said, if the person who passed away was under age 70 and a half, the spouse who inherits the IRA can elect to wait until that person would have been age 70 and a half.
They would have had their own required minimum distribution.
Yes, and then they stretch that out to their own life expectancy.
Right, and then they roll it into their name once they're 59 and a half and everything's good.
Yeah, that's how that works. Okay, one last question on this. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. What about a non-spouse beneficiary with regard to required minimum distributions?
Well, the first thing you have to know is how old was the person that died? Were they at required minimum distribution age? Meaning, had they made it into the year where they have a required minimum distribution or not? If they died before they got to the required minimum distribution year, then there's no RMD for the year they died because there wouldn't have been one if they had lived. But then the non-spouse beneficiary needs to start taking an RMD the next year. The next year it is based on the beneficiary's life expectancy and then stretched out over their life expectancy. Or the beneficiary, if the person dies before they get to required minimum distribution age, the beneficiary has 5 years to completely dissolve the IRA. So if they don't take a distribution in the first year, they've got 4 more years to take the money out. They can take it out 20% a year. They can take it all out in 1 year. They can take any amount they want. But it has to be gone by the end of the fifth year. The only way to stretch it out is to start taking required minimum distributions the year after the year of death. If you miss that one, you're stuck with the five-year rule. Now, on the other side, if the person that died that owned the IRA was required minimum distribution age, the five-year rule goes away. You have to, you know, either base it on the owner's life expectancy or the beneficiary's life expectancy going forward. There is no five-year rule at that point.
Yeah, and you might as well do it on the beneficiary's life expectancy, which
normally,
I think, gives you a little bit more flexibility. You can always take more, and so that's not the issue.
They always take more. People are real worried about the beneficiary IRA required minimum distribution for the first year or two or three,
and then it's
like, just give me the money.
Give me the whole money.
In
spite of the fact that it could put them into a higher tax bracket, like, in fact, it often does. But you know, hey, it's like, okay, so there's a $150,000 IRA.
I'll take 50 of it this year.
Yeah.
And that'll satisfy the RMD.
Right, exactly. Well, that will satisfy the RMD, and it will lower the RMD for the subsequent years.
Ah, but I'll take 50 then, too.
We'll take 50 then. In fact, you know what? Just give me the whole thing. And, of course, you know, after that, you're going to wind up probably losing a good $30,000 of it in taxes. But at that point, what do you care? I think we said that before. You know, if anybody wants to give me $500,000,
but it's going to be taxable,
and I only wind up with, you know,
$350,
whatever, I'm perfectly happy with that. Let's do that. Anybody who wants to do that, contact me. All right, 877-PLANNER. Got some more of your emails. We got some trivia and a whole lot of stuff coming up still. Phone calls, 877-PLANNER. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
If you were born on or after January 2, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Life can be unpredictable. That's why you should take control of your family's future now with an estate plan bundle from LegalZoom. Not sure whether you need a last will or a living trust? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in 48 states can help you decide which one's right for you without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Plus, updating your estate plan as your family and assets grow couldn't be easier. Enjoy your life. Use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
GEICO applauds your inner journey seeker.
GEICO gives a hearty pat on the back to the part of you that just wants to get out and ride your motorcycle, to take to the open road, and let the wind and bugs fly your way. In fact, bring on the bugs. They can't stop your quest for highway enlightenment. GEICO insures not only your car, but also that fine-looking bike of yours, with a custom-tailored policy and the best rates for you. So next time you suit up for adventure, make sure to take GEICO along for the ride.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money every day on this program. If you want to get in touch with us, we've got a little bit of time left and just some room on the phones, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Emails, we'll get to a couple more of those in just a moment or two. You can add to the stack by going to our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Click on that, send it to us, and we'll be happy. We will be overjoyed to read them here on our program. That's what we do. We answer money questions. Now, we had a call earlier this hour, and I sort of told you a little bit about what we're going to be doing next hour, but if you just tuned in, I will repeat for that. We will be discussing the topic of gifting. Now, we didn't get to this once again a couple of weeks ago, so this was moved till tomorrow, but it's an important topic because of all the confusion surrounding gifting and gift taxes. And is there a deduction, Professor Plum? I mean, the whole idea of gifting is to, you know, make it a gift rather than, you know.
Well, there's a difference between charitable gifting.
Right, yes.
And family gifting.
Well, family, or we'll call it charitable and non-charitable
it may
gifting.
Be charitable, you know, giving to the family, but does it count for a deduction?
Well, that's it. And we've had questions, too, where they said, you know, hey, I lent, you know, my brother-in-law or whatever, you know, $5,000 and I never saw a dime, and it's been 5 years, so I'm going to, you know, can I write this off as whatever, as a bad debt? And the answer, Professor Plum, usually
will be found out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. That's pretty good. Look at you. You got to tune in tomorrow to find out. If you've written a check or given some cash to a relative or somebody and you haven't been paid back, we better remember to address that tomorrow on this program.
Put it in your notes. Bad
first
debts.
Hour. Oh, I'll probably forget.
Bad gifts.
Bad gifts, yeah. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Let's get to today's trivia. This one comes from the wonderful people at the European Commission.
Okay.
Who somehow talk about American workers. I don't know how, but they tell us this. For every 100 American workers, there are 24 retired Americans at least age 65. For every 100 European workers, there are 42 retired Europeans at least age 65. Okay. Well,
so they've got an older demographic.
They got an older demographic, and I think they just retire. I mean,
well, that was when I was first out of that. That's why they had to put the term at least age 65. Because retired means different things, and retirement age is different in different areas.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. So there are more.
There's more old people over there.
I don't know. I mean, There are 24 retired Americans. I'd like to see what that was, you know, 50 years ago here in America.
Less.
I would think it. You think?
Yeah.
You mean because there weren't as many people over age 65 here? I'm talking about the ratio. So.
The ratio was less here. I mean, when Social Security first started, there was like what, you know, some huge number of workers for every person receiving a benefit.
Right.
Now there's like 2.5.
Yeah. Okay. So it would be, yeah, because we're talking about the retired Americans ratio. So there'd be, yeah, quite a bit less. Okay. Well, there you go. Thanks to the European Commission for that. Send me something anytime. I'll be happy to read it on the air. Let's get to another email, 877-PLANNER. If we have time to take a call, we will. But I want to get to Chris in Chula Vista, California. Chris says this: husband is 68, took Social Security at age 65, also receives Navy retirement. Wife is 64. I like his, he's writing like he's in a, you know, doing a telegram. Wife is age 64. Wife receives $1,239 CalPERS. That's California Public Employee Retirement System, CalPERS disability. Can wife receive Social Security benefits on husband's Social Security? Is it reduced by her disability income? And is there any change if she files at her age 66?
Well, the CalPERS disability, it's probably the pension. She's receiving her pension. She may have been able to receive it early and in an unreduced fashion because of the disability, but it's still the California Public Employee Retirement System pension. And that if she did not pay into Social Security when she was earning that pension, she will have an offset to her Social Security. How much of an offset? Well, it's not just her Social Security that you're worried about. It sounds like she doesn't have her own Social Security, so she's looking to take a benefit from your work record once you start receiving a benefit, which makes a lot of sense. But it will be reduced. How much will it be reduced? It'll be reduced by about $848, give or take. $828.
That's too much.
848.
Yeah. So
it's going to be reduced by an amount equal to 2/3 of the pension that she's receiving from work where she did not pay into Social Security.
So she's getting where is it here? $1,239.
Mm-hmm.
So 2/3 of that. You obviously already did the math.
No, I hadn't.
Oh, you didn't? Well, how'd you come up with 828?
I did it in my head.
Okay. Well, let's find
out
what the real number is.
And I missed it by $2.
Okay, $826.
Yes. Gosh, I'm horrible.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
Okay, so here, this is what happens when you get a, and because in this case, she did not pay into.
Yes, we're assuming she's doesn't have her own Social Security, and so the work that she performed for the California government or whatever entity she was working for, she didn't pay into Social Security, so she's hoping to take a benefit from her husband's work record, and it may happen. But the first $826 that she receives or would otherwise be eligible for will be wiped out because of the government pension offset.
Yeah, and we don't know how much the husband, and I guess in this case would be Chris, if Chris is talking about himself, the husband, we don't know how much the husband's benefit is, so hence we don't know how much the husband's full retirement age benefit is, and we couldn't tell you exactly if the entire benefit will be wiped out for the wife's.
He doesn't say, but I mean, my guess is, I mean, hey, his benefit, as long as it's more than, as long as the spousal benefit is more than $826, she'll be getting something. Now, it would make sense for her, if possible, to wait until age 66, because the government pension offset is a dollar-for-dollar offset. It is not a percentage of her benefit. Mm-hmm. So the larger the benefit grows, she'll have all the growth from here forward. If she's at age 26 now, she gets it all wiped out. And if it grows to 1,000 by the time she's 66, she'll get the difference between 826 and 1,000. So she would not want to apply for the spousal benefit until she's 66. But that also assumes you've applied at that time.
Yes. Well, which the husband has. The husband took Social Security at age 65.
Yeah. I would wait until she's 66 to take it.
And she'll just continue to get her CalPERS disability until then. So that's not going to be
her CalPERS pension, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just be getting the same amount of income.
Now, if for some reason she's actually receiving a disability payment, a disability insurance, and it's not the actual retirement pension, then it doesn't affect it. But once she starts receiving a pension from the CalPERS system, the pension will offset it.
That's not considered the pension there because it's disability?
I'm guessing it is.
Okay, I thought it was too, but hey, you never know. Okay, we're out of time. If you want to talk to Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors from Lucia Capital Group off air about anything we talk about on the show or anything that's important to you, you can reach them at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.